Hello, friends from the internet. Welcome back to Alili. How are you guys? We are in December, the first week of December. You know what that means? Christmas and snow. So yes, we're starting this episode with a nice Christmas movie. And all the episodes that may come will be Christmas movies. And it will give you all this beautiful holiday season cheer. Yes, guys, we are leaving this week for my country, so I'm so excited to be on holidays and be in a warm country. I'm not a huge cold enthusiast, so we'll love to have a little bit of sun. And yes, so today we're gonna talk about one of the great classics of Christmas, I will say, for me, and is The Grinch.
Oh, yes, The Grinch.
From the 2000s, not the latest one. The Grinch with Jim Carrey. You will love it. Go search for your cocoa, your coffee, your tea, whatever you drink, or whatever you do, where you're listening to the podcast, go sit on the sofa, or go running, and let's start. In the outskirts of Whoville, a green hermit known as the Grinch has been living in Mount Crumpit with his only friend and pet dog, Max. It is soon discovered the Grinch has put himself in exile due to his hatred for Christmas and after he was bullied by his former school peers after he tried to impress his childhood crush and only female friend, Martha May Huvier. But that ended in humiliation for the Grinch, after Augustus Mayhew, the corrupt mayor of Whoville, has begun belittling him even further. However, Cindy Lou Who, the daughter of Lou and Betty, believes that there is good in the Grinch. At the same time, Cindy realizes that Christmas is about being with loved ones and it shouldn't be about materialism. The Grinch devises a plot to ruin Christmas by dressing up as Santa in retaliation for being ridiculed and for the citizens' endless greed for gifts. So let's start a little bit with information about the movie. So The Grinch, or How the Grinch Stole Christmas, is normally a Dr. Seuss book for children. And if you know Dr. Seuss, you know this is a lot of fantasy things and it has a specific way of talking as well. So that is all incorporated on this beautiful movie. This movie was made in the 2000s and it was directed by Ron Howard, who also produced it with Brian Grazer. And the screenplay was written by Jeffrey Price and Peter S. Seaman. The film was also acted, or lead actor was Jim Carrey. That is amazing. Jim Carrey as the Grinch is a beautiful masterpiece. The movie, obviously, is based on Dr. Seuss' children's book. The children's book is from 1957, and it was one of the first Dr. Seuss books to be adapted in full-length feature film. It was the first live-action movie of a Dr. Seuss book. If you see, normally the Dr. Seuss Fantastic, they try to all do it on 3D, because it's way better to do it, and this one was insane. The only other one that was also a live action was The Cat in the Hat, and that was done in 2003. But it wasn't that good. I will say my honest opinion, that was not good. But The Grinch, wow, so great. So as I said before, the movie is starring Jim Carrey as The Grinch. It has Taylor Momsen as Cindy Lou Who, Jeffrey Tambor, Christine Baranski, Bill Irwin, and Molly Shannon as supporting roles. And the story is narrated by the great Anthony Hopkins. The movie was released on November 17, 2000. And it was released with Universal and produced by Imagine Entertainment. The thing with this movie is that it got really mixed reviews from critics. Though the interpretation of the Grinch by Carrey, the performance was amazing. The makeup, it was on top of this game. It was the best makeup movie at that time. And I will say even today, because so many prosthetics to be applied. But like the critics did not like it that much, or was mixed reviews, because the way of Ron Howard, how he did the movie, the jokes, the adult jokes that are inside the movie were maybe not to their liking, but I find that all the decisions on this movie make it that great. The film spent 4 weeks at number one in the United States, and it grossed $345.8 million worldwide. Amazing! It's the sixth highest grossing film of 2000. The sixth, guys, that is something. It was also the second highest grossing holiday film of all time, behind obviously Home Alone. Both films were surpassed in 2018 by the adaptation of the same story, so the other Grinch movie. It's amazing. We love the Grinch, that's for sure. The movie also won an Academy Award for Best Makeup, and it was nominated as well for Best Art Direction and Best Costume Design. It did have a lot of other prizes, but those are the biggest ones. And I think like the makeup should be proud. There are great, great people involved in this movie. So let's just talk a little bit about the story itself. If you read the book from Dr. Seuss, obviously many of the things that they are being talking in the movie of Jim Carrey, well, you see that it's not the same story. But I find that quite interesting, and I find that that's the essence of this movie, that Ron Howard decided to do more of like a different kind of story, but like basing it into the book. The characters are the same, the character arc has the same story, but the foundations of the story are different. In this movie, we see a Grinch that is like evil and full of hatred, but he's not evil because he's evil, like in the book. In the movie, he has a reason of being evil and hateful, because he was different. That was the main thing on this movie. The Grinch was a different being than the Who's, and because of that, everyone was rejecting him. The way he looked, the way he had hair, the way that he was green. And I find that quite cool, because it's like a way of saying people always reject what they don't see like them. So whoever is not like them, even on personality or physical wise, they will reject it. And it's talking about bullying. So like, we can see that clearly on this movie. We can see how the children of the school of the Grinch were just mean with him. He didn't do much, he didn't talk much, but he was just bullied because of who he was, how it looked. They were like kind of jealous of him. He was getting the attention of the girl that everyone wanted, and so they started bullying him. But he didn't do anything. He was just there. She was having a crush on him, and they were having a crush on each other, and that's it. It's like, leave him alone. So that's mainly why the Grinch went the route that he went. And then he just was like, okay, let's leave it like this. I'm gonna hate everyone. Everyone is mean. He didn't have anyone that helped him, even though Martha May was like kind with him. She didn't protect him or step for him. So he just hated everyone and decided that this town is no worth living in it, and it's not worth being part of. That's why he was exiled. He exiled himself from the town. So that was the big backstory of the Grinch, and that was the main difference in this movie, because the Grinch had a backstory. It had a more human approach. It was not only a being that was different and evil that wanted Christmas to be horrible. No, it was someone that was part of this community. He was rejected by it. He felt rejected by it, so he decided to make their lives miserable. And that's how it went to come to be the Grinch that we know today. I find that super cool, and I find that Ron Howard also approached a theme in this movie about gifts and how Christmas is like in maybe the 2000s, for example, or even now. Sometimes Christmas gets really materialistic. I will say that it gets on the verge of meaning nothing. So that's how we get on the timeline or the story of Cindy Lou, because Cindy Lou is having thoughts about what Christmas really means. Everyone that she asks is like, oh, it's all gifts and that's what matters, you know? And she's like, okay, well, I did thought that was more to it than gifts. And throughout the whole movie, we talk about that. We talk about the fact that people are just being materialistic. They just want all the holiday cheer, all the holiday events and whatever, so on. But they don't care about the family being reunited for Christmas, the whole Christmas spirit that is about. So that's how Cindy Lou makes them see that we don't need to reject people. We should be all together. And in these holidays, we are all need to be like together as a unit, as a family, even though we're not the same family per se, but like we are a family in our minds, you know. But yeah, so that's a great thing that he touched on this movie, and I find that really special and unique for this type of movie. So when Sydney meets the Grinch, she sees that the Grinch is not as bad as everyone is telling her that he is. And also, she and the Grinch have kind of the same purpose, if you think about it. He is pointing out to them that all this holiday is not based on anything and they are all materialistic, hypocrite, and self-absorbed people. That they just think of themselves and they just think of their gifts and that's it. And then they throw it all away. So the Grinch is saying the same point as Cindy, that this has to mean something else, because if not, it's just an empty holiday. Another great thing that was portrayed on the movie, this is a movie for children, but it has so many adult things, like all this stuff about the materialism. And also, there was a lot of existentialism, because when we see the shots with the Grinch, it's always like, I'm alone, what is the point of this? And what is my meaning here? Why am I different? Where do I come from? And all these things. He is completely perturbed by it. And there is a lot of existentialism on this movie. And I think that's relatable for the public that is watching, because it's not only children that are watching. There's a lot of grown-ups watching this movie, like me. Let's talk about a little bit about the performances and how great they were. Like, Jim Carrey cast as the Grinch was a genius idea. He's so chaotic. His energy is all over the place. Portrayed a being that is having conflicts between himself and the way of life and how people are. So he's so chaotic. And then he meets Cindy Lou, that is played by Taylor Momsen, and she's so warm and calm, and she wants everyone to be together, everyone to be loved. So she plays in a way that she balances his performance, and same wise for the reverse. I find that great, because like when you see them together, you feel that the movie has an equal balance of feelings. Let me tell you why the critics thought it was good but not that good, you know, it's like mixed feelings. Because the critics pointed out that there was a lot of inconsistencies in the tone of the movie, and it had a lot of jokes, really weird, adult-like jokes, and they're kind of out of place. But I found that that's the quirky style that I like about this movie. It makes it the way it is, you know? I find it that it goes well with the storyline that they chose and the way that they chose to portray the characters, because we can see that in this movie, the characters are not at all perfect. They have adult lives and have like a lot of the our world and our crisis and our problems. Now, let's talk a little bit about dogs used in this movie. As you see, well, almost every shot has Max in it, and Max is played by several dogs. On the 2000s, they were really using animals for acting. Obviously, they were not harm or anything. They were like trained dogs for it. Yeah, that's a lot of dogs that plays one. So Max is played by 6 different mixed breed shelter rescues. There are Kelly, Chip, Topsy, Stella, Zelda, and Boo. So they were all different breeds that they look alike. Also, all the dogs wore a lightweight headpiece with long ears attached, and for the flying sequences wore an additional antler headpiece as well as fur cover harnesses to secure the dogs in places. That's funny, they had to put a weird thing on their heads so that they all match throughout the film. So like the face will match but not the rest of it. And the dogs, they all had tiny stunts, so that's why they had harnesses. Like for example on the mail post where the Grinch is hiding in the ceiling, they both had harnesses, but the furry friend had a furry harness. Then also they used many techniques to achieve the commands that they wanted for Max to do on the moment. For example, when he is needing to bite the robe of the Grinch on the mail post, they just hide a little device on the robe, and this dog was trained to just bite that device and not let go until they say let go. That's how it looked like he was kind of biting him, but not really. They also, if you notice when you watch the film, they speed up that part of the film so that you think that the dog is actually pulling the robe, but it's not happening. It's just there and they move so slightly. But with the acceleration of the movie, it works really well. Now, the moment that everyone is waiting for. The story of the dreadful makeup. It's not that the makeup is dreadful, it's the applying that is dreadful in how all the issues came for this makeup. So imagine, Jim Carrey has to be the Grinch on this production. It took a lot of time as well. He had to put on a full suit for the Grinch and prosthetics in the face. So imagine, all the characters have prosthetics. They only have like a nose prosthetic because the Who's, well, they don't need to have all the same prosthetic. They don't have all to have the same nose. They just have one prosthetic applied. So that's fine. That's okay. But imagine, the Grinch has to have all this face equivalent to what we see in the storybook. And this face doesn't appear from nowhere. So like you have to put this effects makeup that it will change completely your face. So it has a headpiece that will make the shape of the Grinch head. It has a front piece, so like on his front. Then he has a nose and mouth piece. Also, all this is covering his whole face. And sometimes he cannot breathe. Like, do you see the shape of the nose? It's so difficult to just breathe with that. It must be horrible. But all this is in your face and you have to emote through it, so you have to do all the emotions through it. I think the character design and how they did the makeup, it's amazing. It's super well applied, it's super well thought about. Like they can emote throughout the makeup, it's not a hard makeup, it looks great, it looks like the storybook. But he has to put that on every day for I don't know how many hours. So that is what we're gonna talk about. That was insane. For the Grinch, he has the facial prosthetics that I just explained. Then he had to be covered and encased in head to toe on a green jack fur and enlarged contact lenses that go into his eyes, which the set's fake snow kept getting into. You know, like they have this snow that is kind of fake and I think it's made of marble. I will let you know more of that in my Instagram account. But yeah, the contact lenses, all the facial prosthetics, the full latex suit with jack hair, that's a lot. It must be cooking inside. If you see an interview with Carrey, in whatever interview, he says always the process is kind of like being buried alive every day. It took the first time 8.5 hours in total to just apply the makeup. Obviously with the time they say like Well, Jim and, I don't know, maybe the artist say as well, it's too much time to apply this makeup. We need to reduce the time. So they reduce it to 2.5 hours. So first time was 8.5 hours. And then the other days of the filming, it was 2.5 hours. Obviously, the tension started brewing, not only on Carrie's side, but also on the makeup artist. The story is that Carrie is getting really stressed by this makeup and he's feeling kind of overwhelmed by it. He just lashes out on the makeup artist that is in charge of him. And the makeup artist is Kazuhiro Tsuchi, that work under Baker. Baker is Rick Baker, the head makeup artist on the production. Kazuhiro had to do the makeup for the Grinch. He did it really well, but Carrie was mean to him. And in an interview, Kazuhiro said, "Carrie was mean to everybody. After 2 weeks, we only could finish 3 days worth of shooting schedule. Because suddenly he would just disappear, and when he came back, everything was ripped apart. We couldn't shoot anything." So Carrie lashed out, not only on Kazuhiro, but also on the crew that was on the production. Tsuchi said also, in the makeup trailer, he just suddenly stands up and looks in the mirror, and pointing on his chin, he goes, "This color is different from what you did yesterday. I was using the same color I used yesterday." He says, "Fix it." And okay, you know, I fixed it. Every day was like that. Jim Carrey was getting frustrated, so every time he looked at the makeup, he was pointing out something different, even though they were doing it the same way every day. They have to do the same makeup every day. They know how to do it. Leave them be their job, you know? But like, I feel like he was just so stressed by this makeup. And also, apparently, Carrie at that time had a lot of problems. I don't know with what, but substances. He was definitely not well. That and the stress combined make all these problems on the makeup department. And it went really bad at some point. So let me tell you about this. At one point, Kazuhiro was being so stressed by Jim Carrey. Sorry guys, I have a lot of phlegm. Excuse my moments. But yeah, he was so stressed about Jim Carrey and all the lashing out that at some point he was mentally exhausted and had to tell Baker, the head makeup artist, and one of the producers that he needs to step away from the film for a while. Like with the hope that Carrie will realize how valuable he is. But that way he could just breathe a little bit because of all this stress. Like only a production is already stressful. And now with an actor being horrible to you, you will be like, okay, I don't deserve this. So Kazuhiro went a week away. Carrie and the director, Ron Howard, both called Tsuchi to return and said that we need you to return. Like, you are important. And Howard say that Carrie had sworn to change. So Jim Carrey was promising to behave. So poor Kazuhiro had to endure all these problems. But yeah, like, you know, like, there was issues in both sides. In Carrie's side and also on the makeup department side. Well, the makeup department is getting lashed out by Jim Carrey and being not treated right. But Jim Carrey had his own issues as well, because like he was talking about this procedure to be torture for him. He was getting insane. For him, it was getting buried alive. And I know that he's not exaggerating it, because imagine having something on your face all this time that is like covering everything. You don't even have your own eyes outside of it. Everything is covered with something. Like when you put it the first time, it's okay. But like when you use it every time, it just gets like really intense. So he was getting insane by the horrifying experience. He had to put this makeup for 92 days. Because that was the time that it took to do all the film. But yeah, it was a lot of time to just put on this big makeup. So the producer, Brian Grazer, hired a man that had trained with CIA operatives. He will give Jim Carrey tips on how to endure torture to help him cope with what he was feeling. So imagine that you have to have someone that is telling you how to be tortured. That's horrible. And Jim Carrey talked about it on the Graham Norton show. If you have watched it, it's a great show. He was scarred by this experience. Jim Carrey on the Graham Norton show said, the expert said, eat everything you see. If you are freaking out and you start to spiral downwards, turn the television on. Change a pattern. Have someone you know come up and smack you in the head. Punch yourself in the leg or smoke as much as possibly you can. So Carrey said on the show that he decided to take one of these habits. So he decided to smoke. Have a big green furry Grinch smoking on set. And he joked about it that it would be like, ha ha ha, I'm a Grinch that smokes and I need a line. That's funny, but yeah, he had to do something to not think about it. Also, everyone said that Carrey's behavior at the beginning of the production of The Grinch with the crew members and the makeup artist went from what he was doing before, because he was doing another movie before The Grinch. He's a method actor. He gets really involved on his character, so he is this way on screen and off screen. He was filming Man on the Moon, in which he played the late comedian Andy Kaufman. And during the making of Man of the Moon, Carrey became possessed by the spirit of Kaufman. So it was kind of psychotic, you know, it was psychotic times. Jim Carrey didn't exist at the time. Why he finished that job, he was starring The Grinch right after. So he was still kind of like on the Andy Kaufman character. So Jim Carrey said on an interview in the Venice Film Festival premiere of the documentary Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond, he said Andy actually affected the Grinch as well. And not only that, Katsuhiro Tsuji had to go to therapy after the movie because he was scarred by Jim Carrey. Ay, these people. Now, friends, let's talk about something fun, like fun facts. Fun fact number one. The Grinch made Taylor Momsen want to be a musician. So Momsen was the one that was praying Cindy Lou Who, and she had to do a song, or record the song, Where Are You Christmas? And because of that experience and being in a recording studio, it solidified the idea for her to work in music. So she loved the experience, and that's how she was like, I have to be a musician. But bam! Second fun fact. Audrey Gessel had a lot of stipulations for the film rights. So if you don't know Audrey Gessel, I didn't know her before. The real name of Dr. Seuss is Theodore Gessel. So Audrey Gessel is his wife. Dr. Seuss didn't want to sell his books for film rights, but when he died in 1991, well, everything went to his widow, and she put a lot of thought into just what it would be adapting a movie from Dr. Seuss. She was willing to auction off the rights to How the Grinch Stole Christmas, but producers had to be willing to give her 4% of the box office gross, half of the merchandising revenue, and 70% of the profit from book tie-ins. That was all on top of the $5 million price tag for the material itself. That's amazing, that's a lot of money. In addition to the monetary concerns, Gessel also stipulated that the actor playing the role has to be a great actor status, like kind of like Robbie Williams or Jim Carrey, and that's how Jim Carrey got into the role of the Grinch. Fun fact number three. Jim Carrey's magic hands ruin a take. So what do I mean with that? You remember when the Grinch is going to the Whoville party of holiday cheermeister and all that thing. So he's kind of like deciding where is he going to go, what is he going to wear, and he decides to take a tablecloth to wear it as a skirt. So that tablecloth scene, well, it was supposed to be that the Grinch will pull the cloth and everything will just fail and crack and be chaotic, you know? It wasn't supposed to be like so smooth. But apparently Jim Carrey had some great ability to make the tablecloth just slip under the stuff that was on top of the table. So when he did that, nothing fell. So the director asked him, do whatever you do, but like these things have to fail afterwards. So he just slips the tablecloth and then he just goes back and just ruins it, everything. It's one of the most memorable scenes now. For fun fact, Jim Carrey ad-libbed many of the Grinch lines. What is ad-lib means, maybe you say? It's like the lines that were not on the script and then they were used on the filming and then they were used on the cut of the film. So, this probably won't shock anyone, but Jim Carrey was the king of doing ad-lib. And also, Ron Howard did let Jim Carrey have his fun with it, and he was not about to limit the artist on his work, so he decided to let Jim Carrey do all the ad-lib that he wanted. One of the great examples is the lines where the Grinch is looking at his schedule. That is like 6:30 dinner with myself. I can't cancel that again. That line was like amazing. Added by Jim Carrey. Fifth fun fact. The Grinch outfit took 8.5 hours to put on. So that's what we talked about before. So many know that it was a hard thing on production. But yeah, like the first day that they put this beautiful outfit on, it was 8.5 hours to just painted and put all the jack hair and everything. Sixth fun fact. Audrey Geisel removed nearly all the adult themed humor from How the Grinch Stole Christmas. You know now that who is Audrey Geisel, so she didn't step aside after the contract was signed to do the feature film for the book. She was like one of the people that were like having a lot of power with the story, and she said there was much I didn't like. Rejected ideas included a stuffed cat in the hat hanging in the Grinch cave, plenty of bad humor, and some sexual innuendo on which Audrey would deign to elaborate. She told Entertainment Weekly that American Pie stuff has no place in Suits. There was only one thing, adult theme, that it was into the film at the end, and we don't know if Audrey knows or not, but there is a flashback that shows a holiday party when the Grinch is coming to the house of the little granny. So that scene, it's meant to show who couples that are swingers. Haha, you didn't know that? I never knew this thing as well. When I watched it so many times, I didn't understand that scene. So like, the couples are all tossing their keys into the glass jar, implying that some are swingers and everything, and they are all staying at night in the party. Seven fun fact. Studio executives were worried that Jim Carrey will be unrecognizable as the Grinch. So as we talked before, the Grinch makeup took a long time to perfection, so that it looked like Dr. Seuss character, but still had the ability to emote the facial expressions from Jim Carrey and all that. So the head makeup artist, Rick Baker, did some shooting screen tests many times, and it did at least 6 different Grinch looks to achieve the now known makeup that we see on the movie. And even at some point, because the studio executives were afraid that we did not read Jim Carrey with that whole lot of makeup, they decided to just paint Carrey's face and did just a tiny little bit of special effects makeup, but it looked like a rejected cat from the cast of Cats. That's what the actor said. Looked really terrible. So they did went the route of the prosthetics for the face. And so, like, well, you know, the studio executives say, like, oh, well, if we don't read Jim Carrey as the Grinch with on top of all this makeup, we can just maybe put some random actor in and no one will notice who it is. And they couldn't be like, it's maybe not worth the 20 million fee that they have to pay Jim Carrey. But they did some screen tests with different actors with the makeup of the Grinch, the actual makeup. And everyone pinpointed who Carrey was. So, like, everyone knew which one is Jim Carrey, and the other ones were like, ugh. And that's how they knew that it was worth to cast Jim Carrey for this role. 8 fun fact. Christine Baranski almost got away with using her own nose in How the Grinch Stole Christmas. So, you know that many of the Whos have their own version of the nose, they have their own makeup artists, and they all have all their own prosthetics. But Martha May Huvier, the Christine Baranski, almost said, like, we will not put any prosthetics on it because she already has a nose that is kind of like tipped on upwards, so it was already having a Who nose. It looked like a Who with a nose job, a Beverly Hills Who. That's what she said on an interview. That's perfect. They just decided to go with her nose. 9 fun fact. Did you know that many of the extras on How the Grinch Stole Christmas were Cirque du Soleil performers? The producers and everything, that decided to go with the Cirque du Soleil performers because, you know, the Whos are a lot of acrobatics and have a lot of, like, mannerisms, that it was better to just put it on an actual cast that knows how to perform these kind of things. And they even said, the reason we went with Cirque du Soleil performers is because they have all the physical abilities you could possibly need or want, yet they also have really strong performance background in very odd characters and odd situations, things that are just completely out of the norm. 10 fun fact. The How the Grinch Stole Christmas cast attended Who School before they started shooting. So, as we said before, you know, like, we had the Cirque du Soleil performance because they have background on performance and odd characters, and they have a lot of physical abilities. So the actors that were not related to the Cirque du Soleil had to get to the Who School because, well, they needed to know how to do these physical roles and also how to interact and do these odd things. So they rehearsed in a studio with mini trampolines and crash pads, stunt rigs, and all of the things so that they can get used to it, to be like stunt persons, you know? Crowell said as well, the Who workers don't go out with a truck or a crane. They bounce on this theater board and somebody hands them a wreath, and they dress it on the building. So it's unusual things like that, people balancing huge stacks of packages without any effort. Amazing! 11 fun fact. Some of How the Grinch Stole Christmas actors stuck straps up their Who noses so they could breathe. You know what I was telling you about on the prosthetics when we were talking about the makeup? So you remember that Who prosthetic nose that it has kind of like a going up thing? Those prosthetics were really simple, but at the same time had a lot of issues. Jeremy Howard said that not all of the Whos get the same prosthetics every day. So unfortunately, sometimes the mold I receive on a given day would smell like sulfur because it had been at the bottom of the box and it was sitting in. So this odor of sulfur was making the actors having runny noses and allergic reactions. And, you know, like when you have that horrible smell all into your face, it's horrible. So one of the things that the actors did so that they could be able to breathe is that they put straws into their fake prosthetics so that they can have a hole that goes directly into their nose and directly to the air outside, you know, so that they can have fresh air and breathe more easy. 12 fun fact. How the Grinch Stole Christmas features some reference to other books by Dr. Seuss. So yeah, in the movie we have some tiny Easter eggs like referring to different books from Dr. Seuss. Like, for example, in Whoville's town center, there is a massive countdown clock that ticks off the days, hours, and minutes until Christmas. And there is a torch-bearing statue that has on top an elephant. So in that elephant, that is like synonymous of Horton. I love Horton. So Horton is on the movie as an Easter egg. And the other Easter egg that we have on the movie is at the end of the movie when they're having dinner in the Grinch cave in Mount Compet, Cindy Lou passes a plate to Max. And in that plate, we can see a plate full of green eggs and ham. So that is the other book from Mr. Seuss that is called Green Eggs and Ham. 13 fun facts. Jim Carrey teasing Ron Howard made it into the film. So you remember the scene where the Grinch is putting a reindeer kind of antler on Max with a Rudolph nose and starts putting like a cap and a director kind of performance. So actually, the actor, Jim Carrey, took the cap from the director of the movie, Ron Howard, and he had all his stuff, like the seat and everything. And all the performance was meant to be a joke as being Ron Howard, you know? And that made it into the film, so that's funny. 14 fun facts. Production halted regularly due to Carrey's random disappearances. So as we talked before when we were discussing the makeup of the Grinch, Jim Carrey had a lot of moments where he disappeared from production and he just randomly... bye, he was like gone, and then when he came back was like a few days later and stuff like that, as nothing has happened. And that was a problem for the production because they struggled to have a good planning, and it seemed like Carrey was going through some issues, and these disappearances, well, they're still unexplained, but they say that it's a direct side effect of all the struggles that he had at that time, like what we said about all the abusive issues that he had on substances. 15 fun fact. A total of 1,000 plus hours went into applying makeup. Just makeup. So as we said before, this is a huge, heavily makeup-oriented movie. It had a lot of actors with prosthetics. Not only the Grinch, but also the Hoos, because they had all the prosthetics for the noses. Some others had like big prosthetics for the face as well. So like it depended on the actor and who was it on the village. So over 1,000 plus total hours was spent applying makeup and prosthetic to all the Hoos in Whoville and the Grinch. And the Grinch was also credited as being the movie with the most makeup used overall, taking the title away from The Wizard of Oz. That is amazing. 16 fun fact. Over 250 hand-knitted outfits were made for the film. So, you know, almost every individual on the production of the Hoos and the Grinch as well, they had like different outfits, and they had a lot of sweaters and like knitted stuff, because that was the vibe that we're going in, because that's what we use normally on Christmas. So they decided to call the Los Angeles-based sweater designer Sue's Cousin, who along two other knitters made 250 original pieces of knitwear. Also, every Who had an individual outfit, meaning that they were all different from each other. Cousins and Co. had to work quickly as well, needing to provide the sweaters after 4 months. They ended up pulling it off and making approximately 83 sweaters each, including 8 red sweaters for Jim Carrey. That's a lot. 17 and final fun fact. Jim Carrey spent 92 days wearing the Grinch costume. So yeah, we talked about it on the makeup, how it was applied and all the horror things. But yeah, the task of being put this makeup all day, every day, and he spent 92 days just with these prosthetics on. That's amazing. Maybe you will say why he has all this makeup all the time, but there were no scenes that didn't have Jim Carrey on the full suit of the Grinch. Like, there was no scenes. Well, guys, that's pretty much everything for today's episode. Hope you like it. Hope you love the Grinch as much as me. So, yeah, the Grinch is a great movie to start the holiday season. Even if you want to watch it later on, you can do so. But now you have all the details. And yeah, so let's get tuned for other amazing Christmas movies. And of course, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. If you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm on Instagram as Alelie Movie Podcast. And if you want to search me on your Instagram searcher, or if you prefer, we have the link under the webpage of the podcast or in the episode description itself. Go follow me there. Thank you so much, everyone, and see you next time. Bye, friends.